This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com. This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Well, welcome back to Rising 365, a podcast committed to inspiring and supporting others to embrace the opportunity to rise with each new day. I'm Mike Pena, and rising daily can be a challenge. And I hope that what you hear in these episodes will assist you in rising every day of the year. We're continuing through season two, and we've got a special episode here in episode four entitled Bird's Eye View. Got a good friend here, an excellent person. He is the CEO of Raven Technology here in Kearney, Nebraska, Drew Aldinger.
Yep.
That's all he had to say. Drew Aldinger. And
that sounds about right. Yeah.
Him and I met when we were a part of the local, I don't know, what would you call Crane River Theater? Would it be a professional theater?
I think that's what they define it as, yeah.
That's what they define it as. And every now and then, they pay certain actors. I don't know if they pay everybody, but yeah. But him and I got to be a part of the Christmas show this last Christmas. It's a Wonderful Life. And getting to meet Drew and hearing about his testimony and all the people we know together. And Kearney's a small town, and the towns around Kearney are even smaller, and how many people we know together, we didn't even know that. And
yeah, it's a small world, small town, and I'm thankful to be here chatting with you today.
Yeah, it was so awesome to just see him come to rehearsal each and every day, and he had a different kind of energy about him, and I just wanted to get him on the podcast because as I got to know Drew, all the late nights that we had, and the run, it was just, he's a special dude, and I'm glad we can have him on here. So, Drew, why don't you tell people a little bit about yourself?
So I have always been kind of the nerdy type, even through school. I was homeschooled, so that pushed me in certain areas that normally, you know, most schools would not push you as fast. And so my mom would always tell you that I was always destined to be the boss. And now that my title is CEO, she actually told me this yesterday, is like, you're always going to be the boss. It's what you wanted. Here you are. Congratulations. I was like, oh, thanks, Mom. Anyway, so I grew up in a farm family. I'm the fifth to six. My older siblings are way older than me. My parents are quite a bit older than me. So my dad was the no BS, you know, fall in line type, ex-military. And hard work runs in the family. And if you don't work, you don't eat. And so then my first full-time job was young, and I kept with it, and I've basically been a career worker, I guess you could say. And then a few years ago, I got the opportunity to start my own technology company, and I've taken off with it. And so far, I'm an award-winning businessman. So,
yeah, you're an entrepreneur here in the area. I know when I share people about who you are, they know you here in Kearney.
I have always been of the fact that, and my dad was a good example of this, you know, you take care of no matter who they are, and you take care of them and they'll take care of you. No matter if it's the maintenance man, who you never know what he's going to turn into in the future, you know, like the janitor, or just this random kid that you knew, you know, during school. So, and yeah, my reputation has apparently grown where I don't even know people and they're like, hey, I met you. I'm like, I don't remember you. I'm sorry.
I know we get in so many circles. And I think it just happened this morning when we were meeting up out in the lobby, and the owner of the location we're in, Nest, it's like a multi-office, really cool place where if you don't have an office and you're an entrepreneur or you work remotely, definitely come check out the Nest here in downtown Kearney. And what was the owner's name again?
Chase Meyer.
Chase Meyer. He even said, when I introduced myself to him, he's like, I know who you are. I'm like, I've seen you around. And I was like, oh my gosh. But making those connections, when you're doing good things, even when you're not trying to, but you're just being kind, that word travels.
Yeah.
And throughout the community. And we like to get involved in stuff. What kind of stuff are you involved on outside of, you know, your company here in?
Well, you know, Crane.
Yep.
That was the first time me being in Crane River Theater. I have been in Kearney Community Theater a few times. I've had some advisors push me to do other things than work, and those were a couple of things where I just happened to know people, and so I felt a bit more comfortable trying out for them and just kind of throwing yourself out there, because I'm an introvert by trade. Mm-hmm. I'm not a socialite, but my work requires me to be a social person. And so I've been in those circles now, and I plan on to continue those circles.
Yeah.
I do things with church. I've done that for way longer than I've been a business owner. And then as well as joining professional networks around town with the chambers, not just in Kearney, but other cities like Minden and Holdridge.
Oh, really?
And then I have, through work, I have connections to churches and school districts. And so I get around, and we, you know, if they need something, we're there for them.
Yeah.
So.
Because your company focuses on what?
That is a good question. And one, we might be don't have enough time to be here all day for.
If you could sum it up, what is
we? So we're a technology company at the core. We define ourselves as a security technology company. So anything on the security realm is more of our specialty. And that could be cyber. It could be physical, like door access control. It could be cameras. It just depends on the need of the individual or the enterprise or the school district in some cases. We've done a lot with school districts. I see a lot of the pain teachers go through, and we're there to help. You know, not everybody thinks we're there to help. They think we're there to spy on them, but that's not the case. But yeah, our version of it is to help people through our security needs, as well as our IT services. And we do way more than that, but from the small residents to the big enterprise, we've done it all. And we're not just in Nebraska, we've done it in 17 states.
That's so cool. And you touched about this. You grew up in a farming family, homeschooling farming family, and we homeschool our two daughters as well. But in a farming family, especially here in the farming heartland of Nebraska, was it something when you wanted to go outside of being a farmer, was that something that was encouraged or looked down upon?
Well, I was always a very sickly child. I was allergic to everything on the farm. I had asthma to everything on the farm. So it was like, as much as farms in my blood, I love driving tractors. Don't get me wrong. Like, that's the typical farm kid. And I do miss it every once in a while, not being on the farm, because I could literally go grab any piece of machine I wanted and go drive it at any time, as long as I took care of it, obviously. So I miss that aspect of it. Like, my health definitely improved by working in the city or working in an office, because I'm not in those elements every day like I used to be, forced to be in those elements. So it's kind of like, you know, damned if I do, damned if I don't mentality. Gotcha. Still want to be a part of a farm. I think more as a business owner these days, I've kind of prepped myself for that aspect. I still want my future family to be a part of the farm. I think it's a good work habit, because it's another level when you live and breathe what you do on a day in, day out. There's really no break. You cry. there's no real set breaks.
Right. We live on a farm too, just north of Shelton. It's 100 years old. It's been in my wife's family. And that's the reason we moved back here, is because when we were stationed over in Europe when I was in the military, the farm homestead had been vacant for over 30 years and it was just getting vandalized. And my wife received a phone call from her parents that, hey, we're either going to auction this thing off mm-hmm. or someone has to come live on the place and take care of it. So I was in a time frame in my career in the military, was either stay in and finish the 20 and or get out. So we got out and came back, and we don't farm as far as growing corn and crops, but we do have cattle. It's more of a hobby farm, but it is really good for kids. It teaches them, hey, you've got animals and they count on you and you can't check out. Yeah. And that's what Rising 365 is all about. This podcast, when I started it last year, we're just trying to find little nuggets to motivate people to continue to get up the next day, not look at the year and try to do the year in one day, 365 days, and people try to pack everything into one year. That's impossible and it's overwhelming. That's why January 10th was known as International Quitters Day, because for those 10 days, they're trying to accomplish their New Year's resolution, 365 days within 10 years. And by day 10, they're overwhelmed and they just pack it in and quit. But we can't do that. We've got to just take it one day at a time. The Bible says we're not guaranteed tomorrow, and today has enough to worry about. So that's what we want to lead into continuing this episode. That's why it's called A Bird's Eye View. One of it's because your company. I was sitting down last night just looking at some notes.
About that.
I know. I was like, man, that's a good title.
Raven Tech.
Yeah.
Yep.
And sometimes it takes a bird's eye view to see the big picture. And then when they, you know, when you watch hawks and eagles soaring and ravens soaring, you know, they're up high trying to get a big picture of everything. And then when they see what they want, then they focus in and, you know, they make the beeline for whatever. Did you know a cool thing about ravens? I did some research on them and it was followed up by that Discovery Our Planet or something. But once an adult raven learns something, that is passed like through their genes for the rest of that lineage of raven. And it never has to be taught again. They automatically know it for some reason. And it's in that core of ravens, that family unit of ravens, they're the only ones to know it. So if it's a hunting technique, if it's a how to build a house or where to salvage anything, that thing that adult raven has learned is passed through like their DNA to the rest of those ravens to come within that line of raven family. Where I was like, that's wild.
Yeah.
So if we as individuals learn something, it should be something that we try to pass on, especially if you're going to have a family and have kids, but even in our own neighborhoods. So Drew, was there a time in your life when you just wanted to check out? If so, what brought you to that moment? We're getting in deep now.
Yeah, we are going in deep. So I want to say around 4 or 5 years ago. I don't remember exact time, just because, you know, when you go through those moments, you try to block them out as much as you can. And I will say that during that time, it was probably the hardest time. I mean, everyone has probably multiple hard spots in life, but this is probably the hardest time in my life, especially my adult life. I at that time, before it all happened, I was successful to some extent. I didn't own any companies or whatever, but I was a hard worker, had a great reputation, worked for several companies, worked for my dad still on one of his businesses, was engaged, had felt like everything and anything like laid out for me. Mm-hmm. You know, I was either done inherit this or I was going to be able to do this, because it felt like nothing could go wrong. Well, either I was blind to it or, you know, things just outside of my control just happened. And
like a Job moment.
Yeah. Yes, that's a good way to put it. Job moment. I wasn't quite as low maybe as Job. At least I felt like at the time I probably was, but I lost nearly everything that was dear to me during a short period of time. And it was really, really hard. My fiance was a long distance relationship, and my fiance all of a sudden had it was enough. She was mad at me for something. She said it was the last strike and it was just done. And she ended it on Christmas Day.
Yeah, you shared that.
Yep.
Remember,
And
I showed up like
I
crazy.
was out there, and I had drove. So I mean, I drove home Christmas night, got home at like 1 in the morning. I don't know what it was. And so that was really hard because looking.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. Let's start 2026 with a hard truth. There's no perfect time to build the future you secretly dream of, and there's no time to waste. With support from a Talkspace therapist, you can make this the year you bravely go out and grab what you need from life, whether that's outer rewards or inner peace. Just go to Talkspace.com to be matched with a licensed online therapist. You can start messaging with your therapist right away and schedule live virtual sessions over video, audio, or chat. Your Talkspace therapist can help you create personalized strategies for making the changes and achieving the goals most important to you. Talkspace accepts most insurance with an average copay of $15, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com and save $80 with code SPACE80. That's SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Back on that, it was either I was blind to something that she was doing, or I really messed up. And honestly, it's kind of like a mixture of both. And I'm very susceptible. I'm not to sit here and blame her for all of it. Like, I definitely made mistakes in our relationship. But I think I was more disappointed off of the fact that she wouldn't even hear me out. Obviously, I got ghosted by her and her family. And she heard everything that her family wanted to say. And I was left picking up the pieces, especially when we were going to get married in a few months. It was literally like I had, had bills and everything else to keep from it. But so that went down, and my dad had a stroke a few months prior. So he was always not the greatest health, but he was, my rock, whether I let him know it or not, because we're a different breed. We don't talk very often, but we both can sit there and, I don't know, make sense of stuff. I guess you could say it's weird. And so he had a catastrophic stroke. So he's basically an invalid at this point. And can't talk, can't anything, can't walk, anything like that. So stuck to a wheelchair. And so all this happened around the same time. Well, my mother kind of went crazy with all this. And so, I found out, long story short, that she had called my fiance a gold digger. And maybe this was some of the outlying problem that I had no idea was in there. And her family was not happy about it. Well, they never told me. I had no idea any of this was going on. So this is a culmination of all this. And then when my dad obviously had his thing, his stroke, that went by for work for me. And one of my previous companies that I'd worked for 10, 12 years for said, nope, sorry, we don't need you. All your skills, all that. I was a project manager for him. I did a ton of stuff. Nope, we don't need you. We're good. I was like, okay. And so I was like, okay, we'll get a job. It's not going to be super hard. Well, all of a sudden, I couldn't get a job worth my life. I had tried and tried and tried. Years of experience, management, whatever, nothing. Indeed was not indeed for me. It was not going to. But yeah, so it was just like all of a sudden I'd went on this streak of being successful, being able to get all this, everything was fine, to nothing's going right. What am I going to do? No money coming in, no relationship anymore. I felt empty. It felt like a cloud had come over me. I was at the lowest I could possibly be. And it hurt me more than I think some guys would let it hurt them. It's just the way I'm built. I take things seriously, whereas not everyone takes things seriously. And so yeah,
Or they
just
put on a front like they're not taking it seriously.
yeah. And I, as much as I wanted to try to do that, I just couldn't hide it. Plus, I was like sitting in this big house and I had nothing to do and nowhere to do. And I'm a workaholic at the core. So when you have no work, like what am I supposed to focus on? And video games, I used to be a pro gamer once upon a time. I had all this, but I couldn't focus on even that. So I'd stare at them for like 10 minutes and I'm like bored, or I would think of thoughts of past and then just was not good. And then my mother decided that the house that I had was paying for because it was rental through the company, he was just gonna let it go. She basically said, I don't care what you went through. It's all about money to me. Gone. And so threatened the sheriff. I mean, she would try to pull anything out on it.
Your mom.
My mother. Yep.
Okay.
This is my mother. So my mother went from causing one problem to causing more to not caring. And even a lot of my family members were like, well, there's nothing you can do. She owns everything. No matter if you had a rental agreement or not, you're done.
So you were supposed
I
now
was,
you needed to find a new place to
yeah.
live. No
And I,
job, no relationship.
no
Now you're
money.
getting no money and you got to find a place to live.
Yeah. And it was just like, okay, what do I do? I was an intern for one of the churches here in town at that time, made little to no money, but it was something. And they at the same time told me they were not going to renew my contract for another year.
So when it rains and pours, right?
Yeah. So I was just like, all right, I have nothing but my pickup and a bunch of odds and ends, you know, clothing, bedding, whatever. You have all the house utensils.
Let me ask you, said 4 or 5 years ago. So that is this during COVID, all this is happening?
This was like near the end.
Okay. Everything was gearing.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was like COVID was still there. People were still very conscientious about it. It was still.
Because that's another thing you're dealing with.
Yeah. And for me, it was never like I never officially had COVID.
Right.
It was just one of those things. And I think I actually had it before COVID was COVID.
But it was just one of those years.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, where everything just the deck of cards come crumbling down.
Yeah, and it was like, you know, time in your life where you're at the top of the pyramid and all of a sudden the pyramid's starting to, you know, go down mm-hmm. into the ground, sink, whatever you want to call it. And so it's, you know, not good. Anxiety, grief, loss, all peaked. You know, I've had health issues for pretty much my whole life and they seem to, you know, now they're the forefront. You know, you don't have any money for anything, including doctor bills.
Yeah.
It was just, it was hard. And I think I had that friends group who knew I came from money. And so they're like, oh, he's fine. You know, it's not actually as bad because, you know, their version of having no money is different than his. Well, my version was the same as theirs, right?
Right.
Like zero money means zero money. So yeah, it was an extremely hard time. And it went.
Did your friends leave you too? Like, well, not, they just didn't lean in.
So I had the combination of saying, well, it's your fault. Whatever you did, okay, it's your fault. And then I had the combination of that they were married.
This is the Job thing, right?
Yeah. His
friends show up. And
it's like, you know, your true friends then and all that. And I had the friends that were married with kids or not. They're just unavailable now, right? You know how that goes.
Yeah.
Like some people handle it better when they get married or not. Like, you know, and so it was just kind of, all right, what do I do next? Where do I go next? And so how do you even wake up in the morning is just it. My work motivation that I'd had and held dearly to for years was nearly gone at that point, if not 100% gone. And so it was really hard. And so I had to find a job, which I had some interviews, supposed to be a car salesman, all this. Went through 4 interviews with 1 dealership and then got ghosted. And I'm like, okay, I guess I didn't get a job there. And then I would talk to a few people. No. I didn't know people that were hiring. Well, finally, I had a lead on a job. They made me wait 2 weeks for an interview. So long story short, I had like this maybe two month gap of absolutely nothing. It was sheer torture of, you know, at home, in my own head, YouTube, whatever, just trying to move on. You know, it was cold out. It was winter, right? And so it was like I couldn't just go out and hike or do anything. So it was a weird time. I will say the one solace, and I know this is weird. So I love football. It's just something I've always had, especially NFL. And the one thing it was nice was turning the TV on Sundays and Thursday nights and whatever. And that was one thing that was like, okay, can zone out and think about only sports that day. So that did help give me a reprieve. But obviously when it's not Sunday and it's not a game on, what are you supposed to do? But it took a few months. Finally, I had 2 job offers at the same time, and one was for a fire alarm security company, and that's the one I chose because they offered unlimited overtime, and that's a whole nother story, but that company was not good to work for. Environment was awful. They lied to me in my interview, but it was money, and I had no choice, so I had to stay on with them for about 2 years until I finally had a way to get out. But yeah, it was like the next part would be rebuild.
Yeah.
I had to figure out how to rebuild my finances, get out of any credit card debt I had. There was no plan B anymore, right? Only plan A. Plan Andrew.
Yeah.
Like, that was it. And I'm a huge strategy buff. And rule number one, always have a plan B.
Yeah.
And I was not prepared for plan B. I just wasn't. You know, I never thought I needed plan B. Here I was, the bottom. What can I do next? So.
Yeah. When we get the rug pulled out from under us, and like you said, all your plans go out the window. It's the only thing you can do is start with a plan A, get plan A going, and then start planning plan B. You know, I'm being military background and still in law enforcement. we always have contingencies.
Mm-hmm.
And you train those contingencies on the offshoot that plan A doesn't work. While most of the time you're just focusing on the plan A, because ideally that's where you want it to go. So you going through those 2 months, what kept you from not just cashing it in?
I've always had this weird thing of I don't like being known as a failure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a huge strategy. I love war history, generals, all that. And I did not want to be known as a failure. And yes, I thought about cashing it in. I honestly don't remember how close I was.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of all a blur.
Yeah.
It's becoming more and more of a blur. But I don't know. I knew the story of Job, right?
Yeah.
My faith, you know, was waned more during that time than it ever has. I knew the story of Job, and I had in the back of my mind that it's not just me that's had issues like this.
Yeah.
There's been greater issues than mine. Like, I mean, there's generals that have lost battles and lost, you know, hundreds of thousands of tens of thousands of people. Like, I can't imagine being that guy and having that on my chest. If I had that responsibility today, I would think about that every day. But I think that's part of a good general or a good leader is, yes, you need to consider that, and that should be priority number one to not just throwing needless lives away.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you still need to be able to get up the next day, and we need to figure out how are we going to, you know, we lost the battle, but how do we win the war?
Yeah.
And that was always subtly in the back. And once I finally got a job, and once I finally had to start looking for that purpose again.
Yeah.
And I was just a technician. And I just needed somebody to tell me that they're very thankful for what I've done or what I'm doing for them. Or it could have been a very minute thing. And so I would tell anyone, if you're in that rut, like, you just need to kind of force yourself to get out of your comfort zone a little bit. And try to get out of your head, whether it's just, I'm not a walker guy, I'm not a runner, but just get out, take a walk, breathe fresh air.
Mm-hmm.
People watch a little bit. Like, I mean, maybe you're wishing you would have had the kids and you didn't have the kids or whatever happened. You know, stare at that and think about what you want and what has it led you to this point. Yes, you're at the very bottom and it's easier said than done, but, you know, think about the long game and not just the short game. Short game is to pull the trigger, right? Short game is to, you know, walk out in front of a car. Yeah. Long game is, okay, I failed at this, but there's still a chance out there.
Yeah.
There's still a subtle chance I'll get married again, get engaged again, right? So there's nothing on the horizon right now, but there's still that chance.
Yeah.
So, and I'm a big long-term thinker, and I would advise to anyone, don't just think about now. Think about the future and let's see, how will this affect your family, your friends, right? If you pull that trigger, there's no more.
Yeah, there's no.
There's no more. You're not going to even, you don't even consider, like, you're not going to get the chance to watch that future football game or go to that future football game or.
Any future is over.
Yeah, it's gone. Like, you have cashed in the cards. You have said, I have given up at that point.
So what do you do now? You're on the other side and I'll tell you guys, Drew's successful and he shared where he's at now. There are times when I truly believe that each day we're going to stay with Job right now, that Satan goes to God and be like, I'm going to go challenge him. And God says, go for it. Because the word tells us that he allows things to test our faith and to strengthen it in order to strengthen. He tests our faith in order to strengthen it. So there's this daily dialogue between God and Satan, and Satan said, hey, I bet you today I can get Drew and Mike and other believers to denounce you if I do the right things. When you find yourself maybe feeling sorry for yourself because you didn't get the big contract you need for your company, or you've had a few dates with a a girl, and all of a sudden, you know, ghost. So we're in this, I hate this culture, this ghosting culture that we have now. And it, that ghosting culture has permeated to every age group. There is no age group that is not ghosting somebody. And like, for instance, in my ministry, there was, you know, this couple is, they're both retired. They just recently retired, but they've been leading one of the children's clubs at two of the elementary schools. And I had to hear it through the grapevine during the Christmas break that they were just not going to lead it anymore and just let this club like dissolve without even telling me. And so I've been scrambling because I don't want these two clubs to end, of course, for these kids. But when you feel yourself like getting down, what do you do to stay encouraged?
Well, so when I first started Raven Tech, I had heard of this company that was looking for a provider for their certain system. And this company was a Fortune 500 company. And they have thousands of employees and, you know, offices all over the country. And it would allow me to travel and get paid to travel, and we'd make money. You know, yay! It's the business owner's dream, right? They pay for everything. You make whatever it is off of parts and labor, and you know, a single man shop or whatever. It's it's perfect. It's the foundation for a good business. And I was excited. Well, I had experience and everything, and I thought, okay, well, this is going to be easier said than done. Well, let me tell you, starting a business is not easy.
No.
And in my type of industry, it's even harder. You have to sweet talk the regional sales managers on letting you in the company. And then you have to sweet talk their manager to their divisional manager to let you in. You need to have authorization. You need to prove that you're making so much money, that you're doing this, 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 this. You have so many things to do. I had no idea that was a requirement when I started my company. I thought, you know, it's as simple as, you know, getting an Amazon account or getting an account to purchase the products and do the work. I knew how to do the work. That wasn't a problem, getting the product. Well, I lost that contract over not being able to provide the equipment, because that equipment, they claimed they had enough dealers in the area, and that was it. I wasn't worth it to them. I was too small. Obviously, a brand new company, I wasn't making millions a year. I should just started. And so I had to give up my largest contract at that time. Couldn't even sign anything with them because it was just, couldn't. So that was not a good way to start, just telling you that right now. And I was very discouraged about it, right? Mentally, stress-wise, was there. I'm like, okay, what the hell did I do? You know, why did I do this? I'm in the wrong spot. And I, around the same time, I had been going out with a girl. I mean, I'm just going to hit on every highlight that you were talking about earlier. I was going out with a girl. It was great. Well, then, you know, she just said, oh, wouldn't work one day. I was like, oh, crap. So had all this pile up. Company was, you know, 6 months old, maybe less than that, probably more like four. And it was the strangest thing because, yes, I was down in the dumps. I was sitting on the couch, had a few days of I just didn't want to get out of bed. And then I've been thinking about the past couple of days of going back and trying to remember what got me out of bed to try to pursue it again. And I honestly don't remember exactly what happened, but I had this day where I woke up and it felt like I had a caffeine boost. It felt like, okay, well, you've thrown all the chips down. You've got to go out and hustle. You've got to prove to somebody that you're capable of, you know, selling the products, maybe a different product. And so I was like, okay. So I grabbed my phone. I started making phone calls. And long story short, I picked up my largest contract at the time out of it, just by making a phone call. It was a cold call, just by having the motivation to call somebody and saying, hey, I know I'm small. I wasn't able to do this for that company, but I can get this, you know, are you interested? And he's, you know, and they gave me the whole, like, I don't know, you know, you're new. We're not sure if your tech works, you know, can you actually provide it? Can you keep up with it? And I'm like, okay, well, what I did was, I bought this product. It's $1,000 off my new company credit card, right? Which was a lot of money, still was money.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of money at the time, especially when you're starting out. And I'm like, okay, well, if you pay for me to go to this office, just, you know, a fuel or a flight, whatever it was, I will install it for free, let you test it as long as you want, and we'll go from there. And that's how I picked up my biggest contract, was just by spend $1,000 of my own money, and it was a $30,000 contract. And that's how RavenTech got a good boost that started. Mm-hmm. After that, they've been one of my best customers. They call me. We don't even run quotes anymore. I just bill them.
There you go.
And so I would tell you that if you're down in the dumps and it feels like everything is gone and you don't want to get out of bed and it's just, you don't have the motivation, you just need to like grab yourself by the collar, take a walk.
Yeah.
Like maybe even stumble outside in your PJs and just walk around, you know, turn some music on, try to remember what you did for fun back in the day or what motivated you for, like, if you're a football player.
Yeah.
A lot of them, what, either listen to podcasts, they listen to music or whatever. Go find that song that you haven't listened to in a while, or that random playlist you had. Just try to pump anything in your head just mentally to help get you out.
Yeah. I like being positive. Yeah, and
it doesn't, I mean, you don't have to, I hate to say this, but a lot of pastors are like, yeah, go read your Bible for 20 hours a day. You know, go find that spiritual verse, go grab that testimonial, go do this. Well, anyone would be like, you know, especially if you haven't been in church in a long time.
Like, it didn't work for me.
Yeah, it doesn't work for me. Like, everyone told me, yeah, go talk to pastors, go have meetings a couple times a week. I hate to say it, but the pastor's not the first person I'm going to talk to. I knew a few, but sometimes, you know, if you don't have that friend or whatever, if it's nice enough outside, go take a walk. Every town's starting to have trails. Pull out that bicycle, whatever you need to do. Listen to some music. I love music. And so that's the first step. I'm not going to say you'll be fixed off of it, but that's the first step to getting out and trying to focus on, okay, where have I come? Where do I need to go?
Yeah.
And the middle game.
I know when I was at my lowest moment, people would say that to even my wife. She was like, man, go talk to this pastor. Try to go share with even other believers. The church does a really poor job about mental health.
Mm.
And they see it if you say, man, I don't, you know, something's disconnected mentally or emotionally. Then they would be like, well, they would do like Job's friends. You've done some kind of sin that you're trying to hide. So now you're paying for it. I was like, man, when you recollect, like, no, I'm literally trying my best. I just don't feel well. So like, well, you need to come to church more. You need to read more.
Yeah.
You need to serve in the church more. And they just give you more things to do. But Drew's touching on it. You just, the only thing you need to do is disconnect from that part of the stressful world and find the little things that bring you peace and joy. If it's music, if it's a TV show, if it's a quiet walk outside of yourself, if it's going and helping a stranger. And you know, my office here in the central Nebraska area, it's a quiet little office just out of church here. Nobody's ever at the church. That's why I do most of my work at coffee shops, because even though I may not strike up a conversation with individuals there, just to walk in, and I've been to enough of them now, they know me, the baristas and the people who are regulars there, we know each other, so we say hi, and that little bit of energy just brightens up your day. And that's encouraging that you see that too, that yes, there is encouragement from going to church and reading your Bible and doing those things. But really, the one thing that happens is when you get into those low moments, that's where Satan wants to keep you. He wants to keep you isolated and keep you down there and keep you blind and feeling sorry for yourself. But as soon as you stop doing that and you start pinpointing little things in your life that bring you joy and peace and motivation, then you're able to get back out there the next day. And who cares if you need to take the day off? And, you know, the culture is way better than the church of like self-help days or, you know, taking those days where you can recoup and recalibrate. Those are so important. I know I used to be one of those people who's like, oh, that's just baby stuff. I'm not talking about you need a safe space, not that nonsense stuff, but
yeah.
Like taking a day out for yourself because you've burned yourself out, because you've been burning the candle at both ends and the middle, because you're trying to make your business work, make your relationships work, be fit and eat right and go to the gym and, you know, be social in the community of all the different clubs you're a part of. All those things, they can boil over and all of a sudden you wake up, you're like, man, I'm exhausted.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I don't have it today. And it's okay to phone it in that day and be like, you know what? I'm just going to go for a walk. I'm going to, maybe you've been dieting and you've been really strict. I'm going to enjoy something that brings me pleasure, even though, you know, like I'm a McDonald's guy. So I'm going to go grab a small McDonald's meal. Those little things can really boost and encourage you. Who are there routines that you follow that help you get ready for the next day? Are you a routine type guy that?
Yes, I would say so. I like to have things in a certain place where sometimes I get such in a habit of grabbing them there. If they're not there, then I totally forget about them until I realize they're not there later in the day.
You know? Yeah.
Like, it's like anytime I get home, I have this one spot where, you know, anything in my pockets goes and, you know, wallet and everything is all laid in order. I'm a bit of a clean freak, which is kind of weird, but like, I like things in order, organized, you know, even spaces, even lines. It's just, it's weird. I know. But yeah, so I like my routine is primarily for work days. I have a routine. In weekends, it's just kind of ablib a little bit, you know, sleep in or don't sleep in or work. It doesn't matter on the weekends, but like I'll roll out of bed. Being a business owner, I will say I'm not as strict as rolling out of bed at certain times as I used to be. Obviously, when you have to be in the office at 8 or whatever it may be, you need to be out at, let's say you wake up at 6 every morning because you have to be there, right? Your job depends on it. I'm a little lax. My guys will tell you that right now. I am not a morning person. I hate mornings. I am an evening owl. Like I will work till 1 in the morning, 2 in the morning. Like I say the best time I do work is from 7 p.m. on. Like that's just, no one's in the office. I shut the lights off. I have music roaring. You know, I, you know, maybe have a game on one of my monitors. I like that in my day, and that's how I'm productive. And so if I ever go with another company or sell or whatever it may be, I would ask that I can continue to do that because I will tell them straight up, I'm more productive for you if I can mix my schedule up a little bit. This depends on your boss, obviously. But my routine in the morning is, you know, I wake up, take a shower. You know, I don't quite shout at myself in the mirror, but I look at myself in the mirror and just have my whole routine of, okay, I've always been a fan of dressing for the job you want. Mm-hmm. I was a project manager for an electrical company. I wore polos. Like, I'm on construction sites wearing polos.
Yeah.
No one wears polos on construction sites. Everyone thought I was the owner's son because of that. Like, I was big boss, you know, son. Like,
yeah,
daddy was my, you know, the owner. I was not related to him in any way. I just wore polos or I wore button-up Henleys. Like I liked them and none of the other guys did. So everyone always assumed I was the boss. Even if I was 19 and looked like a kid, everyone assumed I was the boss or if they wanted anything done. They
just by the way you dress.
Yeah. And it's very simple. I just always looked nice. Other guys would have tons of holes in their clothes and all that.
Yeah.
I just always made sure I had nice work pants that survived.
There's something about looking nice makes you feel good.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And I mean, you don't have to overboard it.
Right.
I'm a huge fan of cologne. I wear cologne on construction sites. I don't care.
Right.
But I definitely smell guy than the guy next to me. And sometimes that's a problem. You know, like some of those guys, I hate
you
to say
it. Carry yourself.
Yeah. And yeah. And again, you don't need that, you know, $300-some bottle of cologne
or suit or something.
Yeah. Like, yeah, you don't have to wear a tie to a construction site. That's just stupid. Like, I'm going to tell you, unless you're there for like an interview of some sort, I would wear a tie.
But feel good about yourself. Yeah. Leave the house feeling good about yourself.
You know, mix it up, have a few different types of cologne. That's what I do. You know, I get a haircut regularly, change it up every once in a while. Always make sure you're clean and polished. You know, figure out what your caffeine source is for the day. You know, whatever that may be, just have it kind of in a set routine. Same with working out.
Yeah.
Right? You only really see results from working out when you're in a routine.
Yes.
You can work out once a week.
Yeah.
May be enough to get results over time. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. But if you really want results, you've got to put your money where your mouth is and, you know, 5 days a week minimum. You've got to, you know, invest in proper food, whatever that may be. Maybe make it yourself or get
You touched on that. Like you said, you have health issues you got to be leery of and concerned about and you pay attention to because, you know, if you make the wrong choices, the next day is going to be affected by how you feel.
Well, I mean, doctor bills aren't cheap. We all know that. Yeah. Like, no matter even if you have insurance, that may take $100 off $1,000 bill. Is that helpful? Maybe, maybe not. So, yeah, just doesn't matter what your routine is, but, you know, wake up thinking that it's a new day. It's a new you.
Get a new chance.
Yeah. And I would say if you're having trouble with work, like, it's just absolutely the worst. So you have the worst boss. Let's say you have the worst boss. the way I found, speaking from experience, the way I found is, depending on what you do, if you just kind of smile at them and say, okay, and not argue with them and don't look down, they won't know what to do with you anymore because they think they own you. They think this, they are the boss, they are the overlord. But if you treat them that, okay, you got it, sir. And maybe even just call them sir. You don't know what to do with.
Respect.
Yeah. And then when their boss rolls in, which might not be tomorrow, but it'll be in the future, I mean, you'll have a good reputation or have that notoriety from the other workers who just look at you like you're crazy because you know, you just don't let it get to you.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, again, that is easier said than done.
Right.
But like for me, I developed a good reputation at previous companies with my customers. Like I wanted them to call me. They actually would call my work phone directly. Mm-hmm. They did not want to talk to the office because they knew they'd get the runaround. And so I got a good rep. They'd always defend me. When my boss would talk bad about me through emails to them, they would forward the emails to me. I never asked. I didn't want them. They mm-hmm. would. And so when I left, I made sure I was on good level with all my customers. I made sure they knew what was happening, that I was on my way out. The office hated me
right.
because they wanted me just to close the door, leave, and then they would start calling the office to the next guy. And a lot of those customers have hunted me down since then mm-hmm. or have no good things about me. They may not be my customers now, but they still see me every once in a while.
Yeah.
And so it's a good reputation to have, no matter how you want to start it, how you want to handle it. If you get up in the morning feeling not just good about yourself, you may not always look the greatest. You might not have the, you know, zero body or a bunch of six pack abs. That doesn't matter.
No.
You just need to have it mentality that, okay, it's a new day. It's new me. Throw this comfortable clothes on. Let's get to work.
That's right.
I call it the GSD. And my version is GS asterisk D because it's, you know, I mean, GSD stands for get stuff done. I don't say stuff, right?
Yeah.
And since we're a Christian podcast, I won't say it for all the pastors out there.
Yeah, there you go.
But it's literally, you know, you just think about it as, okay, I'm going to get stuff done today.
Yeah.
And that big task you've been struggling with, break it down into squares. Like that you're trying to write a book. Well, don't try to write the whole book tonight.
Yeah.
Start with, you know, chapter one and paraphrase one. Like, you know, what are you paraphrasing? What are you going off of? What do you need to write? You know, all this stuff. So that's what I would recommend is like, there's no quick fix to this.
No, there's no quick fix.
And everyone has their own routine. Like,
yeah.
I love cologne. Next guy might not so much.
Yeah.
Right.
So I like to learn about people's routines and then seeing if I can adopt some of them into mine because you can get so wrapped up in a routine that you get hyper-focused on it. And if a wrench is thrown into your routine, then you're a difficult individual to deal with the rest of the day. And you're thrown off for the rest of the day. So if you're so strict in your routine, that's not a healthy thing. You've got to be really mobile. And Drew touched on it. The way we interact with other people, our kindness, our patience, our joy, the way we speak with them and respect them, we have control of them. We don't have any control, like we don't have any control on the weather. We don't have any control how people treat us. But we have a control on how we respond to the way we're treated. We can try to get even, and that just makes things worse.
Mm-hmm.
We can be doormats, and that makes things worse because then you're going to start looking down on yourself. Or you can respond in a way that they don't expect it. And we capture that in scriptures, like, you know, if someone slaps you on one cheek, give them the other. If someone says, hey, carry this mile, you said, I got this mile and the other miles to come.
Exactly.
When you surprise people with your response of kindness and joy and patience, they don't know what to do. But Drew, you touched on it, your reputation precedes you. And it's going to precede you in both ways, either in a positive way where people love you when you're around, they enjoy your presence, or that reputation of he's got to get even and he's got to have the last word and he carries himself, that is going to get out in front of you as well. So you have a choice here. You're the one responsible for your choices. But you touched on that, Drew. Make it one choice at a time, one moment at a time. Don't try to take on the 24 hours right when you wake up. Find something that works, shower. So before we wrap this up, Drew, for one listener out there, what do you want them to take away with. This is the bird's eye view of Rising 365. Everything you've gone through, from losing everything to now, you know, people are proud to know you and they're honored to know you. And you, you know, you're a big future thinker. From where you've been to where you want to go, what is one thing you want the listener to just be encouraged with?
Well, I would say if I can do it, you can do it.
Yeah.
I am not, like, don't get me wrong. I come from a family with money. I do all this stuff, and that's what most people look at. But I did not use a single cent of that dollar to found my company. I saved up for 2 months for a laptop. I saved up just enough money to get me to rent for like 3 or 4 months. And when I got my first little contract, which was small, it just had enough money to get to the next month. Literally, it was just like just in the nick of time. And it felt like that, okay, I can do this. All right, one job at a time and just go from there. And so no matter if you want to start your own company or not, but you can look at that for life too. And just if you're an admin for a business or anything else, I would say, you just need to put your head down, write it out on a sheet of paper and set some goals. They don't have to be, you know, over the top extreme goals, but don't make them simple. Any goal should be a bit more complicated than you think you can hit. Because if you actually try for that goal, you might actually hit it.
Yeah. You never know unless you try.
And I mean, I didn't go to school for business. I did not. I didn't know, you know, everything that is about business. I mean, I'm privy to anything else. Like, I was lucky enough to have advisors on different things that were like, oh, you should talk to this guy, or oh, you should talk to that guy. So if you're confident in yourself that you can do the work, no matter what the job is, you'll have success.
Yeah.
And even if you don't know everything, like, I don't know everything about technology. Like, I just don't. I'm not an Elon Musk, you know, I'm not a billionaire, I'm not anything like that. Like, you just need to prove to your customers that, or your fellow employees or your bosses, that, oh, he or she shows more than this guy over here. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of them are their 9-to-5ers, right? 8-to-5, whatever you would call it. And if you can be the next step up, you might get that job offer that you've always wanted from that company you never thought was there. And that could easily change your life.
Be somebody that people can count on.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's, it's, again, like, I'm a broken record. It's easier said than done. Yeah. But
like, one day at a time.
Yeah. One day at a time. And that's why, you know, you rise 365, but it's about today.
Yeah.
About start today. 365 comes in a year.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
one day at a time.
You set that goal on your sheet of paper today, and you look at that in a year's time. Like, you don't have to do one of those where you take notes every, you don't have to journal it. Some people love that. I don't. But you write down, okay, what am I today? What do I want in a year? Look at it in a year.
Yeah.
It might not have to be a year exactly. You might not even, you know, set a calendar, notification, whatever. But that would be my recommendation to anyone wanting to do anything from starting a company to just being successful in business, no matter what field. Yeah, just basic life. Okay, you want to get married? Well, yes, that's great. Yes, you could probably put an order in on a website from Ukraine or, you know, newspaper. But I don't really want that, I'll be honest. You know, maybe I'll get desperate here in a few months. I don't know. But, you know, like, so if you want that, you need to sit down and look, okay, how can I change for the betterment of my spouse? How can I change for the betterment of my job or my company? Because I'm when I don't get enough sleep and I'm angry, like, my guys know about it.
Right.
And I'm very thankful for great employees that they don't take it personally. Like, I'd probably take it personally, but I'll shout at them and I'll get on them and I'll be angry at them for stuff. And I found out that sometimes I just need to go back to my desk, sit down, music on, deep breath.
Yeah. Right. Ground yourself.
Tomorrow's a new day. This customer might not be happy today. This, you know, whoever it may be, I will get this fixed. Let me just, I sometimes I'll take a nap. You've seen my couch in the office. Like, I'll just lay down and be like, all right, 30 minutes might make me $30,000 if I do it right.
Yeah.
You just got to look long term.
Yeah. Look long term, but be patient with yourself. Where can a listener find information for Raven Tech before we close this out?
The best spot is raven-tech.com. That is our best opportunity there. It has information on it to get a hold of me, my office staff. Hopefully our website will be updated with even more information to help simplify the end user experience. But yeah, no, we're officially, it will be year two this year on May 12th, and I'm excited. Mm-hmm. This is kind of our make or break year, right? Like, we started as just me, myself, and I, and we've grown to, you know, there's six of us. And I feel like sometimes it's hard enough to keep my head above water, but yeah, I'm excited. And I'm excited for the new customers I get to meet from no matter what walk of life, because I get to meet every single time. I get to see a lot of stuff that I wish I didn't have to see.
Right.
So.
But. Well, thanks, Drew, for being on the show. Thank you for tuning in. I hope each episode brings you inspiration to embrace every new day. To support the podcast, consider booking me as a speaker for any event that you have going on, from conferences, school assemblies, church events, anybody that needs to hear the message of Rising 365. It's easy to arrange that. You just shoot me a message or an email at rising247365@gmail.com. Join the Facebook community. Until we meet again, I'm Mike Pena with
Drew Allaire.
Yeah. Be patient with yourself. Seize the gift of a new day. You are destined for this moment. And for any information for Raven Tech, there will be a link in the show notes. Until next time, we'll catch y'all later.